today as we come to the table.
Are you in a storm today? If you're not in a storm, you're going to be at some point. Every believer goes in them, some small, some medium, some large, some biggie size. But I don't know where you are in your storm situation, but here's the bottom line. If you're in the midst of a storm, and it's a sinful storm, repent. If you brought the storm on yourself because you're living in sin, then confess it and repent and start doing right. And if you do that, the storm will pass. God is getting your attention. He's trying to break you and bring you back to the place you need to be, back to fair havens, back to that beautiful and suitable port that you should have stayed in to begin with, rather than venturing out into dangerous waters that you knew better than.
There are different kinds of storms. Some of them God allows to come in order to refine and grow us. Some of them simply result from living in a broken world. And some of them we cause for ourselves. Pastor Mark asks the question today, are you in a storm that you've caused by your own sinful behavior? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. There is only one answer for escaping the storms you've caused yourself. Repent and run back to Jesus. The storm is God getting your attention and calling you to Him. Pastor Mark is here to remind you today that when you repent and return to Jesus, the storm will pass. He is your safe and pleasant harbor. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 27 as he continues his message, Weathering the Storm.
The word fair havens here, or the words fair havens, it literally means beautiful and suitable port. In other words, this was a place that was beautiful and suitable for them to stay and be safe for the winter until the storms passed. But because of their fleshly desires and because they didn't want to listen to what the spiritual guy had to say, they didn't want to listen to somebody reading from the Bible, we might say, if you want to put a modern day analogy on it, they said, you know what? I'm not happy here. I'm not pleased in the situation I'm in. I'm going to launch out into these waters, and they don't realize they're launching out into dangerous waters where they may drown and lose their life. And what is my analogy? Look, there may be some of you this morning right now that are discontent in your Christian walk. You're discontent in your life. Maybe you're discontent in your marriage. Maybe you're discontent in a job that you know God wants you to be in. That might be a job God is moving you on, but maybe you know God wants you to be there, but you just don't want to be there any longer. Maybe you're discontent in whatever your circumstances might be. It might be Christianity you're discontent with. I've been walking with the Lord, and I feel let down because God hasn't done this, this, and this. Listen to me. God has brought you to fair havens. He has brought you to a beautiful and suitable port to keep you safe. If He's got boundaries around you right now that you're not pleased with, there's a reason God has done that. Don't fight against the Lord. Trust Him and follow His lead. Because if you follow your fleshly desire to go and satisfy what you're not satisfied with, I've got to have more, and my needs aren't being met, or whatever the case might be, listen to me, believer, you're traveling into dangerous waters. God has put you in a place where you can be protected right now. And if you travel out into those waters, you're going to travel into the storm, and you're going to ignore the warning of the Lord. And when that happens, you may live, you may not, but we're going to see God spares their life. They could have all perished in this. And I've seen a lot of believers go down with the ship and not make it out because of that very thing. But they decide they know better. They're going to listen to their fleshly desire and venture what they want, and they're going to suffer the consequences. And notice verse 12, because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, again, only because it didn't have the party scene for them, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, not Arizona, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southeast and the northwest, and winter there. Hey, Phoenix was known as a party town. Phoenix has it happening, man. There's a Ruth Chris there. They got all the, you know, the nice nightclubs. They got everything in Phoenix, man. We're going to Phoenix. That's the place to be. Come on, let's do it. And they were allowing, again, their fleshly desires to drive them rather than realizing right in front of them were dangerous waters that could ruin their life. And Paul knows what's going to happen, or he has a strong suspicion of what's going to happen. And now we're going to find out Paul was right. Now we enter into the storm. Look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, note that, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. You know, oftentimes when we go in a path that we know God has told us not to, there can be smooth sailing for a while. Hey, this isn't so bad. You know, I know the Bible says that. I know the pastor said that last Sunday in the sermon. But you know what? This is not so bad. I stepped out in the waters. This is kind of pleasurable. This is nice. I'm enjoying this. And so far, there's no real storm. This is smooth sailing. Guys, be sure the storm is coming. Look at what happens. Verse 14, but not long after. I have that underlined. Because it's not going to be long until the winds are going to begin to increase if we choose to continue to disobey the Lord and travel out of our place of security into dangerous waters. The storm's going to come. Not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclidon. This is the one I was talking about where, again, the winds would come off of Asia Minor and stir up the ocean. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, they let her drive. Again, the storm got so bad, it's like they just gave up and said, you know what, we can't control the ship, we'll just let it go. And here's the dangerous thing about heading out into dangerous waters away from the call of God and that safe harbor that God has given us. There may be soft winds at first, but when the storms hit, we find that it's no longer us controlling our lives. The world's controlling it. Satan's controlling it. Our circumstances are controlling it. And rather than us steering the ship, we're being yanked back and forth by every wind that's blowing. And guys, that's the danger for all of us as believers. We have to make sure that we're allowing God to steer the ship, and it's not because we've made a foolish decision where now we're being yanked all over the place. Everything that we thought is out of our control now. That's exactly what's happening here. And running under the shelter of the island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. I find it interesting, the word Clauda here. And you know me, whenever I'm studying the scripture, I look at the word meanings and I look at everything because the Holy Spirit has built all of that in there. And I encourage you guys to do that. When you're studying the Bible, look at your word meanings. Look at all these things. If you don't know how to do it, I'll teach you how. The bottom line is that you need to be studying God's word to understand it. And the Holy Spirit speaks. And here in verse 16, Clauda, this island they went under here or went to after the storm had begun and they went the way that God didn't want them to, it literally means lame or crippled. And I find that very significant because that is exactly what happens to anyone that ventures out into waters they know they shouldn't be in. They become lame and crippled. Maybe not physically, but almost always spiritually. And so it's a warning to us to stay away from that. Now, we're going to see that although these guys are making a bad choice, a sinful choice for their storm, Paul is simply a passenger going along in Paul's life. God is using it in a godly way. Paul does not become lame. Paul does not become crippled because Paul trusts the Lord through the entire storm. And we're going to see that Paul stays faithful through it because of that. These guys are going to become quite endangered and, again, almost lose their lives. And so notice what happens here. Verse 17, and when they had taken it on board, actually they secured the skiff with difficulty, and when they had taken the skiff on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirtis sands. That is an area where many ships would get stuck and sink. And they struck sail and were so driven because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. And the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Guys, note this. The storm has gotten so bad now, they're grabbing some of the things that they felt were essential for their journey, and they're throwing them overboard. But you know, it's amazing. Whenever we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, we find out what is really essential and what is really not. And I think oftentimes God will allow us to go into the midst of a storm to show us what is non-essential, so that we'll grab the non-essentials and throw them overboard. If I hold on to this any longer in my life, I'm going to sink. Listen, believer, you may have something in your life this morning right now that God is saying, you're on the ship and you're in the middle of a storm and you're holding on to something that's causing the storm. You need to throw that overboard. You need to let it go because if you don't throw it overboard, it's going to pull you down. It's going to pull you overboard or make the sink ship. The ship sink, rather. Yeah, make the sink ship. It's a new thing that happened only in the language. That's why you've got to study these things. The bottom line is the ship's going to go down if you don't do it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I don't know what it is, but I've found that when I'm in the midst of storms, there's a lot of things in my life that I've been holding on to that God says, why are you holding on so tightly? Let that go. And when I let it go, that's when the blessing comes. That's when the storm begins to release. And that's when God does his greatest work. So they begin to throw these things overboard that they no longer need because it's causing problems in the midst of the storm. You get the analogy. And when the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Guys, have you ever given up hope? Some of you in your heart, you gave up hope. But let me ask you this. Are you sitting here this morning? You better believe it. You know what that tells me? God was faithful. There was no need for you to give up hope. You simply gave up hope, but God was faithful and God has shown himself faithful to you. Guys, it's very easy to be discouraged. And sometimes to give up hope. And notice this, what caused them to give up hope. The storm was so bad, but now the clouds had become so bad they could no longer see the light anymore. They couldn't see the daylight. They couldn't see the stars. It was darkness wrapped in this cloud. And oftentimes in the midst of the storm, it can get so dark. And I've been in storms before that seem so dark, I'm thinking, Lord, where is there any light? You know, there's a light, you've heard that, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but when you get there, it's a train, right? That's what you're thinking anyway. No, there's a real light from God. And God is going to give us hope. But sometimes in the midst of that storm, when the clouds are wrapped around us and we can't see what we're doing or where we're going, listen, we can get into despair. We can feel hopeless. Lord, this is never going to end. There's no way out. There's no hope. That's what they're feeling now. So guys, understand this. The storm can cloud your vision. But just because your vision is clouded, believer, note this, just because your vision is clouded, God's is not. God is above the clouds. He's above the storm. He sees exactly where you are. He knows exactly where he's taking you. And God will be faithful to get you from point A to point B if you'll stay faithful to him. And yet they don't know those promises. Paul does, but they don't. They're giving up all hope. They're saying we can't see anymore. We've been blinded by the storm, so to speak. But after a long abstinence from food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me. You know, I don't know that I would have said that, you know. I would think the tackle would go off board and then Paul would go off board. I don't know. Say, well, you know, right. Nobody likes to hear they messed up, right? I told you so. But guys, note this. This is not an I told you so moment. Paul goes on. He says, men and brethren, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Again, what he's saying is, the bottom line is, it's all going to be okay. And there's a lesson in this for us. Listen, Paul tells them, you know what, you should have listened, but now here's hope and here's the answer. That needs to be our answer, mom and dad, in dealing with our kids. That needs to be our answer, bosses, when you're dealing with your employees. That needs to be the answer when you're dealing with friends and they've messed up. What do I mean by that? Listen, you were warned not to do this, and now the consequences are there, but there's still hope. If you repent, if you turn, here's God's plan. This can all be restored. This can all be rescued. And so it's not wrong necessarily in love to tell someone that they should have listened, but we need to do it in the right heart, and then we need to have an answer for them afterwards. And Paul has an answer. Why does Paul have an answer? Because God had spoken to Paul. Paul had been spending time with God. And notice what Paul tells them. Take heart, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must, and note that, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who are with you. In other words, the reason I said no must, God is sending Paul on this journey. God is sending Paul to Rome. He must get there. There's not going to be anything that will stop him. No storm. It doesn't matter. God's going to be faithful. And we need to realize that when we're following the Lord, God will be faithful to get us there regardless of the storm because we must get to the other side. Jesus, the Bible says, is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not the author. He doesn't push us in the back of the boat with a foot and say, good luck. See you on the other side, right? I remember I prayed one time with my dad right before surgery, and I said, see you on the other side. And I meant at the surgery, and he said, well, son, that doesn't sound too encouraging, you know? God doesn't do that to us. God is with us. God directs us, and God makes sure that we get from point A to point B. And he's saying, look, God came to me and said, I've got to get there. I don't care how panicked you are. I don't care if you think the ship is going to sink. We're going to get there. We've got to, because God has promised. And indeed, God has granted all those who sail with you. That is, if you're with me, you're going to be okay. You know what? I love traveling with godly people. I remember getting on a flight one time that I was a little bit nervous about. I don't remember why. I don't know if there was a storm we were going into or what it was. But I remember seeing this world-renowned believer get on the plane. And I was like, yes, we're going to make it, you know. If I'm on here, good luck. Anything goes. But this guy, we're getting there. And I was like, peace, you know. It was relaxed, you know. Well, that's how it was with Paul. Paul's got to get to Rome. He's going to get there. And so he says, all right, all of you guys are going to go with me. Everybody, the angel told me that we're all going to get there. We're all going to be safe. Therefore, take heart, men. Note this. And guys, this is the key to making it through the storm without sinking. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. God has given you promises. God has told you he'll get you from point A to point B. God has said he'll see you through to the end. God said he'll finish the work he's begun in Christ Jesus. God said he's the author and finisher of your faith. He's not going to stop now, no matter how dangerous the storm looks, no matter how scary it is, no matter how dark, but for all the clouds that wrap around your head, God is faithful and is going to be faithful to you in the midst of it. I love it. We have to believe God and believe his promises. That is our victory. However, he said in verse 26, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, this wouldn't be as encouraging. You know, again, says the ship's going to be lost, but you're going to be saved. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down on the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took some soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. So it's getting shallower. And then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern, that is the back of the boat, and they prayed for the day to come. Now, this is another thing that storms produce in our life. God uses storms in our life to produce a better prayer life. How many of you, when you've gone into a storm, have said, you know what, I'm in this horrible storm, the last thing I want to do is pray? When I go into a storm, the first thing I want to do is pray. And then I pray all the way through it. And I pray just, you know, crying out to God for help, because that's what the result of this is. So understand this. If you're in the midst of a storm today, one of the reasons you may be there is because God wants you to pray more. God wants you to seek him more. Maybe some of you have fallen away from prayer. Maybe you've fallen away from your time in the Word. You know, things are smooth sailing right now, so you haven't really needed it. And all of a sudden God says, you know what? I'm going to stir up your ocean a little bit. I'm going to send some waves your way. I'm going to let some winds blow. And all of a sudden the winds begin to blow and the water begins to get stirred. And what happens? Suddenly you're up doing quiet time again, aren't you? See, God knows what he's doing. God is faithful. He's a very good father and he's a very good shepherd. And so they prayed for day to come. And verse 30, and as the sailors were seeking, note this, to escape from the ship, and they had let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out more anchors at the prow, that is the front of the boat. They were acting like, we're going to let these down. We're going to put some anchors out. Really, they were going to escape the ship and get out of there, thinking they had a better chance now getting to land since they were close. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, I have that underlined, you cannot be saved. This is amazing here. Notice this. These guys decide they're going to escape the ship. You ever met a runner before? I have, because I used to be one. Whenever the kitchen got too hot, I was out of there. Well, if the kitchen's good hot, I'd eat first. Then I'm gone, right? No, but the bottom line is, I would leave whenever pressure started building. I didn't like it. I just didn't handle it well. And by God's grace and his time and over years of maturity, God has taught me to sit still and to be able to trust him. But some of you guys are runners in here. And you may be in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe it's a storm in your marriage. Maybe it's a storm at work. Maybe it's a storm in a relationship of some type, whatever it might be. And right now, you're being tempted to jump ship. You're being tempted to just escape and get out of there saying, look, I know it's got to be better than this. I've got to get out of here. Guys, listen to me. Listen to what Paul said. He said, unless they stay in the ship, we will all perish. They are going to perish. What is my point? Listen. When you find yourself in the midst of a storm, no matter how bad the storm is, and no matter how bad you want to escape just to get out and make it easier, guys, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Because those that are faithful and stay in the ship with the Lord and his call and his direction and what God has called them to do, regardless of how scary it looks, regardless of how bad the storm is, you're going to survive. The ones that I see fail, the ones that I see sink, the ones that I see drown, they're the ones that jump ship. And we've got to be faithful to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Paul knew this, and even Paul telling him to do this because God said he would spare everyone. You've got to stay with God's plan for this thing to work, in other words. And Paul now, having their attention, because he had shown that God was with him so greatly, now speaks to this centurion, which is really his boss, so to speak. Paul's a prisoner. The captain, nobody else matters. They're now listening to Paul because they see they're all scared and they see God's hand on Paul. He said, you better tell them that they can't leave or we're all going to perish. And I love what this guy does. Look at this. He takes it so seriously because he's seen God's work in Paul's life. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and they let it fall off the ship. Guys, note that. He said, we're not going to take any chance of anybody being disobedient to God's command here. I'm going to cut this rope and lose any opportunity for me or anyone else on this ship to flee. Guys, what a lesson that is for us. Because in your situation that you're being tempted to run from right now, in your situation that you're being tempted to flee from, if there is anything that is still tied to your boat that is an out, well, there is this girl I used to go to high school with. Well, there is this guy that I met at the office a few years back, and I think he would love me. Well, there is this, and we go down the list, whatever the case might be. Listen, you need to cut that off. Don't even leave it attached to your commitment ship. Cut it off, let it drop and float away in the ocean, because if there's any avenue to escape and you find yourself in a moment of weakness, you may take that way of escape. And so what they did was they said, no, there's not going to be a way of escape. We're going to survive this storm. We're going to stay in the ship where God has called us. We're not going to jump ship. We're going to believe that God is speaking through this man that we've seen God's hand in. We're cutting the skiff away. We're letting this thing fall. They did it. I love it. And we need to do the same thing. And as day was about to dawn, verse 33, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day that you've waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Again, probably because they were sick from the storm, as well as also just extremely distraught. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. You're going to be okay. Trust what God has said, in other words. And when he had said these things, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had broken it, they began to eat. I love it. There was no government restriction on a prayer to Jesus on this ship, was there? Not when it's going down and you're about to die. As they say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Then they were all encouraged and they all took food for themselves. Now, why would God want them to do this? Because they needed strength to swim. They're going to have a boat, you know, shipwreck, and they're going to have to swim to the shore. And in all, there were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and they threw the wheat into the sea. You know what? We're getting rid of everything to try to spare the ship here and see how long we can stay afloat. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach under which they had planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors, in other words, just drive it into the shore so we can all jump off and get to land, better than just dying out here in the ocean. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast. The front of the boat just buried into it, and boom, stuck. But there were these two waters that came from both directions, is what it's describing here on the boat. And they remained immovable, but the stern, that is the back of the boat, was being broken up by the violence of the waves. So it was an area where the waters were coming from both directions in the storm and smashing the ship. The front of the ship stuck, the back of the ship swaying back and forth, the creaking of the wood, the thing beginning to break up, and they knew this thing's going to explode. And indeed, it does explode. Verse 42, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. Again, if you were a Roman soldier and you let your prisoner escape, they would kill you. So they said, we're not going to die for these guys. Draw your swords, let's kill them all, then we'll make it for sure. But again, notice this, because God had given Paul favor. Verse 43, but the centurion, wanting to save Paul, isn't that interesting, kept them from their purpose. And he commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard and go to land. Hey, if you can swim, just jump over and go for it. The rest of you, some on boards, that is, they surfed in, and some on parts of the ship, they didn't really surf in, that was a bad joke. Some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they escaped safely to land, and when they had escaped, they found they were on the island of Malta. And next week, we will get to the island of Malta and see what happened with Paul and the miracles God did there as he continues his journey to Rome. But guys, as we finish this today, listen, here's the question I have for you. Are you in a storm today? If you're not in a storm, you're going to be at some point. Every believer goes in them, some small, some medium, some large, some biggie size. But I don't know where you are in your storm situation, but here's the bottom line. If you're in the midst of a storm, and it's a sinful storm, repent. If you brought the storm on yourself because you're living in sin, then confess it and repent and start doing right. And if you do that, the storm will pass. God is getting your attention. He's trying to break you and bring you back to the place you need to be, back to fair havens, back to that beautiful and suitable port that you should have stayed in to begin with, rather than venturing out into dangerous waters that you knew better than.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Acts. From the inspiring faith of Stephen, to walking through Paul's conversion, to observing how the early church grew and thrived, there's much more to gain from this eventful book. Jesus had promised to send a helper, and he certainly delivered in sending his Spirit to overflowing in these new Christians. It must have been an exciting and also very challenging period of time that these men and women were getting to be a part of. If there was something in this message that you need to hear again, you can go to thewaymedia.net and navigate to Come to the Table to listen to, or download this or other messages. You can also download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. If you're a prayer warrior, we very much value your consistent prayers during this study through Acts. God can do mighty things through the faithful prayers of those who seek after Him. We're earnestly expecting Him to do big things in and through this radio ministry. We're thankful for your prayers, and we're trusting God to use this platform to get the word out and for it to spread like wildfire. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Acts, so we hope you'll be able to join us next time. We look forward to what will be shared about these people of faith and the trials and triumphs they faced as they walk out their lives in a way that sought to honor God. May these accounts inspire you to do the same and to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.